As our parents age, they become more forgetful. It's true for us too, right? How can we know whether the forgetfulness we're observing is a sign of something more troubling? Here's Jim Stroud.
It's not a memory loss if they forget to go to the grocery store. The memory loss component of dementia or Alzheimer's is that they forget, if you just had a family reunion 3 weeks ago, they forget the whole episode. From a standpoint of physical, you recognize a coordination differential, and you can tell usually by a shuffling of the feet and the agitation factor. And so you start watching and looking for these warning signs that are there.
This is Family Life Today. Our host is the president of Family Life, Dennis Rainey, and I'm Bob Lapine. What should we do as adult children if we're noticing troubling signs of memory loss with our parents? We'll talk more about that today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. So, have you and Barbara thought ahead to when you're in your...
No.
You don't even want me to...
We're going to die with our boots on, Bob.
Well, and that's what we all aspire for, right? I mean, we all have this idea that we're just going to keep going and moving on and serving the Lord until the day He calls us home. But, you know, life has this funny way of slowing you down or putting limitations around you, and you got to make some choices as you get older. And some of those are hard choices to have to make.
Yeah, and today we're talking to our listeners about not just you growing old, but what if you're dealing with a parent who is growing old? How can you rightly assess what their needs are and when they should consider assisted living or some form of housing, maybe near you? Or, you know, we're such a mobile culture today. This has to be a much larger problem than it was 40 years ago. But we have a guest who's a good friend, Jim Stroud, who's all the way up from Dallas, Fort Worth. Jim, welcome back to Family Life Today.
Thank you, Dennis.
Jim is a very successful businessman in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. But one of the things he started and was the founder, CEO, and chairman of the board of was a New York Stock Exchange company that he founded called Capital Senior Living Corporation. He gave leadership to that for 19 years. And today it serves folks in 129 communities with over 16,500 residents. Jim, welcome back to Family Life Today. Let's just address our age.
All right.
Because I had a friend say, if you're talking to Jim, I want to know what he would coach us to do.
So
Bob, because Bob's getting older.
Well, now, Dennis and Bob, are you going to tell us your age?
I will. No. I will. I'm about to turn 70.
All right.
And, yeah. And I'll turn 62.
All right. So, and I'm right in the middle. I'm 66.
Okay.
And let me frame the issue so that your listeners can understand. Right now, there are 20 million adults in the United States that are at least 75. 20 million. Out of that 20 million, 20% or 4 million live in senior living communities. Now, that's a large number. But what is even more staggering is the age wave. We three are baby boomers. Mm. And right now, on a daily basis, 10,000 U.S. citizens turn 65 a day. 10,000. The age wave is like a hockey stick. And what we're talking about here today, either you'll deal with it with your parents or you're going to have to deal with it with yourselves. And we're focused on how do the baby boomers take care of themselves. The other factor that is startling is longevity. When I first gave my speech in 1990 before a large group of people, I made a huge mistake. I look back at 1900 and I was looking at longevity rates. Well, in 1900, there was only one category of longevity rates, male. And so I made the comment about, well, the longevity rate in 1900 was 49 years of age. And I had a lady raise her hand, and she says, well, what category is that? And I said, male. And she says, what about female? And I said, it was not a category at the time.
Whoa.
Bad mistake.
Yeah. So let me ask you about I asked Dennis if he and Barbara have had this conversation. Have you and Lynn started to have the conversation?
Well, we have, and I think Lynn's going to be a great candidate to stay at home, and then I'm going to build the community where she can be the queen. But check back in a couple of years. But let me go back to that longevity, because it's important, because we're relating to what do we as listeners do to help ourselves.
Right.
The longevity factor, if you now look at it, for men, it's right around 83 years of age, 84 years of age. Women, it's 86. That's currently for the baby boomers. If you take individuals under the age of 30, there are a number of studies out there, it's going to be in the late 90s. 90 years of age. The idea of reaching 100 years of age is going to be very common. So we now have this longevity swing that's taking place. And the first thing to do is look at, one, educate yourself. See what the options are. Understand what is the cost of home health care. Because I often hear individuals my age say, not a problem. I'm going to stay in my home. If I have to lose my spouse, then that's going to be a sad event, but I can still hire home health care coming in, and it's not that expensive. Well, let's roll that forward. Home health care costs $17 to $18 an hour on a national basis, $17 to $18 an hour. That's not so bad if it's 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. But if it turns into being 24-hour care, you're now up to $12,400 a month. Mm. And there's no insurance for that. So you're talking $144,000, which to stay in your home, adding on all the additional care levels you're going to need for the yard, for the maintenance, et cetera, for food preparation. So you educate yourself and say, okay, what are the levels? Well, independent living on a national basis is right around $2,900 a month. Assisted living, which now helps you with food as well as the medical side, is up to about $4,400 a month. If you look at memory care and or Alzheimer's care, it can be between $6,000 to $6,200 a month. But skilled nursing is right around $12,000 a month. So the point being, you educate yourself as to your level of need and your level of care. Now, how do you pay for it is the big issue. Oftentimes, I recommend that people go to their HR director and say, is there a policy? Is there a program for long-term care? If not, are there insurance products out there, which are great insurance products now compared to what they were 20 years ago and 30 years ago for sure? The earlier you look into that, the more realistic the premium is. And the key there is to be sure the coverage takes care of your needs, not only assisted living, but also skilled nursing.
Yeah.
So you look at that aspect. And then the third thing is sit down with a financial planner or your accountant, because you need to project out this longevity phase. Oftentimes people say, well, you can retire at 65. You can start taking Social Security at 65. But if you look under the covers of Social Security, how in the world did they ever choose the age of 65? The answer, after World War II, that was the longevity rate, 65. Actually, it was 62. So they looked at it and said, well, most people are going to pass away before 65, or it's going to be in that area. So therefore, the burden on the Social Security Administration won't be that great. But we've now gone right past that, because we sitting at this table are 83 and our wives are 86.
And I'm thinking back to your advice about checking out insurance. My son, Ben, who lives on the Front Range of Colorado, sells insurance, and he's talked with me about this. When you reach the age of the late 60s or 70, at that point, you're getting a little old, aren't you, in terms of considering some kind of policy like this?
Not today. And the reason is it's kind of like your home. You can determine what the deductible is. So you may self-insure up to a certain point and then decide, okay, these are my finances. I'm willing to go ahead and can dedicate this dollar amount to long-term care needs, but I need some type of insurance over that, as catastrophic can be. Also, that allows you to go ahead and fashion the type of insurance program that you need.
When you're starting to look for some kind of an assisted living or an independent living facility, how do you know where to look, what to look for? We see on the news stories of terrible nursing home scandals. Nobody wants to send mom and dad to a place where you have to worry about their care. How do you know what to look for?
Well, the first thing is research. And I ask the adult children to first do their own research before talking to mom and dad. And the internet is a great source. You can go on and you can look and see what the communities are in your area. There are a number of companies out there that will help you determine what communities provide the services you think your loved ones may need. Likewise, a good source are the trade associations. The trade associations that have been formed, and we were part of the early group, and then like in the state of Texas, we helped form the Texas Assisted Living Association, all not-for-profit, all designed to get out good quality information. They have phenomenal resources. What is the type of care that's out there, and then look on the internet and see if it's in your local area.
Jim, to that point, is there any kind of accreditation? I don't know exactly what the term would be, but the good housekeeping seal of approval for assisted living. Has anybody put together an association that measures all companies that provide this service against a common standard and can give a potential customer a fairly objective look at what Bob was talking about earlier? Are they good? Are they safe?
What's the track record here?
Yeah.
Well, there's no organization like UL, like a product company that will come in and say that this satisfies certain requirements and grades those communities. The best thing is the state. These communities are regulated by the state. Assisted living, memory care, skilled nursing. And you can go onto the state websites and look at what they call surveys. Each of the communities is surveyed generally once a year, sometimes every 18 months. And on there, it'll indicate what the survey results are and if there's been any deficiencies. And deficiencies are very common in skilled nursing. Why? Because the heavy regulations we talked about previously, that there's more regulations in skilled nursing than there are for someone on death row, because it's supported by the federal government through Medicaid, and the states also contribute to it. So there are surveys, but don't get concerned if there's a lot of deficiencies on small areas. But you can see a pattern. If there's multiple deficiencies that haven't been corrected, then you know that there is can be a problem there. So that's one way to look. Another way to look, whenever you click on the internet and you go to a web page, it'll show the number of stars. You have to be careful there, because what happens is that if you get the right people writing the right reviews, and I won't use the name of the services, then all of a sudden it may not really match what the level of care is. And there's no better way to determine it than when you walk in. When you walk into a community and talk to the marketing people, that's the start. But I often say, go back at lunchtime and then go back right around 5 p.m. Why at 5 p.m.? Because that's a time period when it's the sundown. If there's issues in behavior, the staff have been there for that's you're now and in, moving into the second shift that comes in. You get to see their interaction with seniors and residents, you know, that are have at the end of their day when they may not have such good days. How do they handle those staff?
Any coaching for those who are listening who have other adult siblings who may have a different opinion about mom or dad going to an assisted living facility? I'm sure you've never seen this, by the way.
We deal with it all the time. And what you find is the family dynamics are unique. And what we try to come together with is we're here to educate the adult children and to help the loved one. And our industry has done a good job from a standpoint of we give referrals. We recognize that we may not be able to meet someone's needs because they're 7 or 8 miles away, the adult child. And it's better for them to be in a competitor community than it is our community. And the assisted living and memory care industry is basically consumer driven. It's not regulated. It's basically the if you provide good quality care, then you're going to have good occupancy, and you're going to be able to sustain, you know, profitability, whether you're for-profit or not-for-profit, that maintains the integrity of the program and the community. So what we do with the adult children, again, it's the same principles that you're using with your parent. is one, again, it's respect among the adult children and to recognize the common goal is that we're really here to help mom or dad. Now, having said that, we have stories that are the saddest stories ever, where you find a situation where they're trying to restrict the money for the parent because the children have financial needs. And what our industry and our marketing people are taught to do is to kind of dive down and understand that dynamic. Likewise, we've had situations where we'll have an open house. And this was a memory care story where adult children brought their parent and told them, we're here to, for lunch to see if you like this, and then turned around and left their parent with us.
Oh, my.
So there are situations out there that are heartbreakers. But the thing about our industry, you're not in this industry for profit. Mm. The irony of for-profit and not-for-profit is out the door the first month because you're dealing and meeting people's needs. And it's just like today. I'm dealing with a situation where I had to respond to a son that his mother has to move out because the deterioration in her health puts her in a jeopardy from a standpoint if we had an emergency or a fire because she can no longer ambulate and she can't transfer from the bed to a wheelchair. And so in those situations, we recognize our licensure limitation. She has to go to skilled nursing. But what we said is we will help you find a community.
You've mentioned it several times, and I didn't realize that there were actual memory care facilities. Let's talk about Alzheimer's, memory loss, and how you measure whether or not your mom or dad may need one of these units to care for them.
It's a critical area today. And it's growing. And I'm going to break it down into two areas that our industry recognizes the most. And the adult children, this will help your listeners. You have dementia, and then you have the medical diagnosis of Alzheimer's. And so let's focus on dementia. Right now, the Alzheimer's Association estimates there's about 4 or 5 million senior adults that have some form of dementia. Now, the problem there is no one can really come up with one definition that fits all stages. But the one thing everyone can agree on is the direction. Right now, that number is going to double in 20 years. So you go from 4 to 5 million to 8 to 10 million seniors. Now let's take Alzheimer's care, which is Alzheimer's diagnosis, a medical diagnosis. Right now, the Alzheimer's Association says 4 million seniors have Alzheimer's. And generally, there's 7 stages. It goes from mild, very mild, to steep decline, which is the stage 7. So what is the trajectory of that? Well, likewise, it's significant. That number of 4 million will be 12 to 15 million in 20 years. And it's because, again, of this age wave. And so the way that you recognize the symptoms are completely different. You may do the refrigerator test with your loved one, but really it's not a memory loss if they forget to go to the grocery store. The memory loss component of dementia or Alzheimer's is if they forget, if you just had a family reunion 3 weeks ago, they forget the whole episode. Not just was Pete there or Mary there, but the whole episode. Mm-hmm. From a standpoint of physical, you recognize a coordination differential, and you can tell usually by a shuffling of the feet. From a standpoint of delayed reactions, you can see that type of a need. Again, agitation. And I always say, go meet with your loved one at 4 or 5 p.m., the sundown time period, because what happens, the anxiety level raises and the agitation factor. And if the behavior doesn't match the circumstance, then you recognize there could be a greater need. And so you start watching and looking for these warning signs that are there.
I had a friend, a doctor, tell me that normal forgetfulness, because we're at an age where there is some normal forgetfulness, he said, if it's nouns and names, he said, that's normal. He said it's the kind of thing you're talking about where you completely forget an event that is not normal. But if you go, I can't remember what's that guy's name? He said, that's just, you're getting older and the synapses are not firing the way they used to. So there is a difference between just kind of the normal aging process where you may forget somebody's name for a moment and something that is dementia or that is Alzheimer's.
My mom lived 4 hours away in Southwest Missouri, and I would go see her as frequently as I could when she was alive. And as I would go visit her back in the 90s into the early 2000s, I began to notice certain things beginning to change about her. And one of the things that really got me was the heat in the house being turned up. And she got very confused by the thermostat. Mm-hmm. That was one of the first real tip-offs that my mom was struggling with something beyond normal memory loss. And toward the end of her life, in her early 90s, she did have Alzheimer's, and it's what took her life. And at the end, she didn't recognize me at all. I'd still go visit her, and so would my brother. But Alzheimer's is a terrible disease that just robs a human being of his or her dignity.
It really does. And it was interesting because when we first started this industry, and really it was 88, 89, 1990, beforehand, you had what was called congregate care. And congregate care was really age-restricted apartments, and it was very predominant in vacation areas. For instance, Florida. You could go down to Florida. You would see an apartment complex. You would recognize that the cars were old, that there were no children. There was no playground. That was because it was an age-restricted apartment, so generally 55 years or older. So that was the model that was there. And then the industry grew into independent living. No, we need to provide rather than garden style apartments where you have entry up a stair and down opening to the exterior. Let's provide it internal. Let's have an activity area. Let's have a desk where people can come and go like a concierge desk, as well as internal elevators. So you had independent living. And then as the industry recognized the aging that was taking place, we moved to assisted living. Well, you roll that forward 10 years ago, we now have dedicated memory care units and communities. And what those are, they are secure communities, meaning they have mag locks on the door, that if individual have a sense of flight, they have to go through a controlled exit and entry as well. And what those communities now do, that they recognize it's not only a medical issue, it's well as a social interaction issue, as well as an activity area. And the programs that are out there in these communities really enhances the lives of those that do have Alzheimer's or severe dementia. And just to give you an example, you've often heard of pet therapy and the interaction when animals are brought in.
Right.
Well, what we end up doing is we'll have communities where we have a house dog. And boy, that dog's loved on. And you wouldn't recognize when all of a sudden that dog comes into the community or stays at the community how the residents interact with them that have memory care issues. Likewise, one of the most phenomenal programs, and I heard of this and we have done this, we go to the public school and we talk to the special ed teachers. And we identify, ask them to identify students that will come and teach our memory care residents. And we say, well, what are they going to teach? We'll say whatever they want to teach. And they bring work tools. They'll bring knitting. They'll bring computers. And it's fascinating to watch the interaction because what happens with that teacher after a month and I check back in, guess who's really benefiting the most? The students.
Yeah.
Because the students are appreciated for what they are. Mm-hmm. Their handicaps are accepted. They're looked at as their time and energy and love is the most important thing. And it's a phenomenal program to watch this interaction between those with severe dementia and Alzheimer's and those that have handicaps, whether it be physical or mental.
I said it earlier, but you have a great ministry. You started a ministry back in 1990 caring for seniors and helped create an entire industry. But you look at it and it really is caring for an overlooked least of these, not orphans, but widows and folks who are getting older who are just in need of someone reaching out and caring for them. Jim, thanks for your friendship and thanks for sharing about how we can age wisely and choose wisely as we go forward, and for being on Family Life today.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, it's always a blessing to be here at Family Life. And you and Bob have a dynamic ministry. And I really appreciate the opportunity. And I hope in some way that I helped one of your listeners today.
Well, you undoubtedly have. And I just want to let listeners know as well, if you go to our website, familylifetoday.com, there are links there to additional help. If you're looking for help in this area, go to familylifetoday.com. I mentioned earlier a book called Wellness for the Glory of God, written by a gerontologist named Dr. John Dunlop. He's been a guest with us on Family Life Today. In fact, if you'd like to listen to the interviews we did with Dr. Dunlop, I think those would be instructive. This book is for those of us who are not yet in our elder years, but maybe past 40. We need to be thinking about how we can prepare, how we can steward our own lives so that we are ready for that transition into the elderly years. Again, the book is called Wellness for the Glory of God. You'll find more information. You can order it from us online at familylifetoday.com, or if you'd like to call for more information, call 1-800-FL-TODAY, 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800, F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. You know, we are excited here at Family Life about what is ahead for us in the weeks and months to come. We've got a lot of projects in the works. We've been hearing a little bit about the Art of Parenting video series that will be released later this year, about the movie that we've been working on called Like Arrows. And we've got a lot of other things in the works, all designed with the same goal in mind. We want to effectively develop godly marriages and families. We want to provide practical biblical help and hope for your marriage and your family. And we are joined in this mission by some of you who listen regularly and say that's a mission worth supporting. Some of you are regular monthly legacy partners, and we appreciate so much those of you who are faithful month in and month out with your support of this ministry. Some of you will give a gift from time to time, as many of you did at the end of 2017. Thank you for your ongoing support of this ministry and for the extra support you offered at year end. If you're a regular listener and you've never made a one-time donation, or if you've never thought about becoming a monthly legacy partner, we'd love to have you join the team and help us reach more people more often with practical biblical help and hope. You can donate or find out about becoming a legacy partner when you go to familylifetoday.com, or you can call 1-800-FL-TODAY to get in touch with us, make a donation over the phone, or find out about how to sign on as a legacy partner with Family Life. And we hope that you have a great weekend. Hope that you and your family are able to worship together in your local church this weekend. And we hope you can come back on Monday. Lacey Buchanan is going to join us. We're going to hear from a mom who experienced tragic circumstances with the birth of her son, but we'll hear how God used those tragic circumstances for something beautiful. Hope you can tune in for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, with special help from Justin Adams, and our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our host, Dennis Rainey, I'm Bob Lapine. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back Monday for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.